Just when you thought it was safe to come back to church. Last week we had Zephaniah in the house, as Father Philip reminded us, and today Ezekiel. And we continue with the narrative from Matthew's Gospel. Indeed, the very words of Jesus. Judgment Part 2. Today is the last Sunday of our church year, our liturgical calendar that serves up the readings for us. They're prescribed each and every Sunday. Those are the readings that we read. And so today is the last Sunday of the year before we begin the new year, Advent 1. And so the year ends with, well, what else? The end, right? The end. You know, the victory of Jesus on the cross, that Easter day that we celebrate, it points to this very day, this final day. It has been pointing, all of Easter points to the final day, right? The victory has been won, but the final day is yet to come, where Jesus will be in His glory, sitting upon His throne, holding the nations of the world accountable for how they have treated Him and His people. Now, I know judgment evokes all kinds of emotions for us. The whole spectrum. Some think, oh yes, yeah right, that's never going to happen. It hadn't happened yet. It's not going to happen. Others say, can't we just, you know, focus on Jesus' love and mercy and forgiveness? You know, why do we have to talk about judgment? But we cannot avoid the fact that God is God, and we are not. The Scriptures, from the very beginning, point to a God who created all things. And we, His creatures, a part of His creation, relate back to Him. We are created to relate back to Him. And He alone is righteous. He alone is just. And He alone will hold His creation accountable to Himself. We say every week in the Nicene Creed, He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. I know there's a side of me that says, yes, Lord, bring it on. I'm looking forward to this judgment day because I know so well the evil that is ever present in our world today. We see it over and over. This evil is going to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with. It must be dealt with. Yes, judgment is good. But there's another side of me. There's another side of me that is scared to death of this judgment day because I know that I too fall under this judgment. That I too won't be able to survive this judgment on my own. And so we find ourselves in a tough spot, don't we? Is this judgment good news or is it not good news? I think it depends on whether you're a sheep or a goat, right? My friends in Sonora who raise sheep and goat, I mean, they love their sheep just as well as they love their goats. They don't understand this passage. Well, I think we have to know that judgment is the good news. It happened on the cross, but it's not something that doesn't mean anything for our lives going forward. Indeed, Judgment Day changes everything. Let's just begin with the fact that we can say that there is a God, and that this God has a standard, and that this standard will be enforced one day. It does mean that there is such thing as truth, as it relates back to God Himself. And thus, right and wrong, law and order. And people are not going to be able to get away with murder, lies, and deception forever. But it really means a whole lot more than that. It means that our choices matter. It means that our lives matter. Because history, the history of this world, is going someplace. There is an end. There is a trajectory. There is a journey. It is not all meaningless. It means that there is purpose to our lives. There is meaning to our lives. Knowing that there is going to be a day when all of us will have to give an account for our lives. Because there is this day, there is hope. What is the Christian hope? It is looking towards that ultimate day where we know that things will be made right. There is peace, there is healing, there is wholeness. Conversely, can you imagine a world where there is no accountability, right? There is nothing that is going to hold people or evil accountable, nothing to put things right. It would mean that there would be no point to it at all, no meaning or purpose, but utter chaos. The world would be very dark indeed. Because of the cross, you know that we have a choice to live in hope or to live in despair. And those are the options that we have. Are we people of hope? Or are we people of despair? You know, even people who say there is no judgment live their lives as if there is, because they know the implications of a world where there is no judgment. It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable. Well, let me just say that the good news is that God's judgment is not some day in the future that we have to wait upon. It's not some final day that we've just read about. In fact, it has already come. It is here. It's being worked out day in and day out in our lives, this day and every day. Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord, is God's judgment of the world. When we look upon the cross of Christ, we see God's judgment of the world. His judgment of sin and evil, His judgment of death and darkness. But we see more than that, don't we? We see more than that. We see God's love for you and for me. We see God's mercy. We see the extent for which He was willing to go for the whole world. He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus, the righteous one, the only one who was without sin, took upon Himself the judgment of the world. He bore the sins for you and for me to bring about His mercy, to bring us His forgiveness. And so we have to see that mercy and judgment are two sides of the same coin. We know we need mercy. We know we stand under judgment. We cannot have one without the other. And we cannot separate the two. They've come together in the person of Jesus Christ on the cross. And when each of us are confronted with the truth of the cross, when we accept God's judgment upon our lives and we claim that mercy, that saving grace, it covers us, it protects us. It's like the reading that we read from Revelation not too long ago about those who've come through the great ordeal, who've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and made white and worthy to stand before the Lord. And so it's okay. It's good news. The moment that we accept this changes the way we go about living our lives. Our lives take on new meaning, new purpose, new hope. We are buried with Christ in His death and raised to the new life of grace with Him. And this is, I think, what Jesus is saying. You know, as we see the sheep and the goat, Jesus died for the whole world. You know, I think maybe the goat are those who say, "No, thank you, Lord. I got this on my own. I'm okay. I don't need you." And He's not judging anybody. He's saying, "Okay, we'll see you later, goats." But the cross is done. Seems to me the difference between the sheep and their goat are the willingness to live a life for Christ under the power of the cross. And when we do that, we are a new creation. We begin to see the world differently. We begin to see God in the world and of the world and by the world. We begin to see God's people and Christ in them. Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Jesus is concerned about everybody, no matter who we are. But judgment, you know, is judgment. It's not about protecting ourselves from judgment. It is about looking out to our neighbor as Jesus does. He's particularly concerned for the hungry, for the stranger, for the poor, for those who've been falsely imprisoned and falsely accused, for the sick, for those who've fallen through the cracks of a broken world, the world that He came to save. If we've been united with Christ in His death, then our hearts are going to be turned towards the things that Jesus is concerned with. The least of these who are of our family. The passage can be a scary passage for some, but it's not. Indeed, it's good news. It's good news for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and for justice. It's good news for those who identify with the Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's good news for those who seek to serve Christ and all people, loving their neighbor as themselves. So judgment and mercy have come together already on the cross. And it's pointing to the final day. We are working out the details here and now. And they'll be fully revealed to us all on that day that is necessary and that is good. And that all things will be brought together in Him. who gave Himself for all of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.